This is episode 87.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we had that awesome interview
with Doc
Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun talking to him.
Yeah, I really am looking forward to the next one. Definitely we'll elaborate more on some things that we ran out of time on to be able to discuss. But I feel like it'll be really good when we get a chance to get back together with him.
Absolutely.
And hopefully in person this time.
Yes, that would be much better than trying to do it over Zoom.
Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do when you live in bumblefuck Alabama.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so how was your week?
It was long, and I felt like it was dragging on. I could not wait for the weekend.
Yeah. It seems like every week seems to be that way these days.
I didn't feel like last week was, but this one I definitely was like, oh my God.
I will say, though, we've been fucking like rabbits because you're trying to get as much dick as possible before your period comes.
is that what we're going with?
So, I mean, that's been A-okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't think you're going to complain.
No, like we got it in twice yesterday.
We did. I even stayed up like 2 hours past my window and I'm laying there and I was like, yeah, I don't know what my body's going to do. So I was like, fuck it. I'm getting that dick.
Yeah. So you got dick twice yesterday.
I did. I'm proud. I'm happy. My pussy's happy too.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, you're going to do a toy review.
Yeah.
Also today.
Yeah, I got to get that in too before the period decides to show up because I know it's like imminent. Yeah, it's like it's going to happen.
A day away.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go ahead and get into episode number 87.
It's a pineapple party. Oh, we got polyamory too. What's that? You want a kink fest? A little BDSM? Well, buckle up, buttercups, because we got that too. It's the Kitchen Sink E&M and Kink Podcast.
And welcome back to the Kink Kitchen. I'm your host, Pedro Martinez, alongside my beautiful wife and co-host, Miss Tinkerbella Martinez.
Hello.
And we are here with episode number 87.
Yes.
Like we said in the cold intro.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we got this week? I mean, anything fun and exciting that we're going to be discussing?
I think so. We're gonna touch base on something that I have made a term for called unicorn dick.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Unicorn dick.
Yes.
I don't know nothing about that, but
yeah, you're like,
sounds interesting.
You're like, do I have the unicorn dick? Like, it's kind of like the unicorn in the lifestyle. So just unicorn dick.
What else we got?
We're going to talk about figging in the BDSM.
Oh, figging.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wish we had something to fig you with.
But oh, yeah.
Alas, we don't.
We don't, no.
So that's going to have to be a fun segment later on. We're going to have to revisit that because I enjoy that.
I know. I'm like looking at you like your wheels are already turning right now. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah. So what about polyamory? We got anything for that?
We don't this week.
We do not have polyamory this week. Just like we do not have polyamory in our everyday life.
Which is why we don't have any poly. Because we've kind of learned that, you know, going on all the websites, well, not websites, but like the groups that are on Facebook that are talking about poly, it's usually like a lot of negative stuff. And well, it's stuff that we've already kind of discussed.
I feel like we can talk a little bit about what you have going on in your world. I mean, it's not necessarily poly, but I think it's something that polyamorous people deal with on a regular basis.
You know? I mean, we could touch base on it a little bit.
Thoughts and feelings on that.
Okay.
As well as my thoughts and feelings on it.
Okay.
So I think we can do that.
All right.
So let's go ahead and get started with the swing topic, which is apparently unicorn dicks.
All right. So unicorn dick to me is basically the ideal dick that I'm looking for in the lifestyle. I am, and I want to say there's a very small majority of women who are in the same boat, whether it's because that is just their preference or they haven't spoken out about it to know if there's actually more of us in the lifestyle that are like this, but we are looking for a particular size cock, okay? We're not looking for the horse cock. We're not looking for the BBC. We are looking for the legitimate, normal, average size cock. That is going to be 5 to maybe 6.5 at best. That's what we're looking for. And it becomes the unicorn dick because, like Pedro has described in many of our episodes, I attract big dick energy guys. And then when I find out that they have big dicks, I'm like, that's not really my cup of tea. That's not what I'm looking for. I can't do the things that I want to do and enjoy it because half the time it hurts. So I'm not wanting to put myself in that situation. And even if that person fits everything else, the dick is what goes and takes me off the plate, and I don't want it.
Yeah. And I think, you've had fun with guys that are even 4 inches.
I have.
Five, yeah, is kind of like the best scenario for you.
Yeah.
But you also don't turn down guys that are smaller than 5.
Nope.
You know, because
it excites me. Like,
oh yeah. And like, we talked about this the other day. Like, I feel like sometimes you get more excited when you find a guy in the lifestyle that, you know, has all the other attributes that you're looking for. You know, he's a big burly guy, you know, like farm boy type. And if he's got like a 6 inch or less dick, you get perfect. Like giddy, like a schoolgirl. Like
I do.
Like the same way a size queen would when they find a 12 inch dick.
Yes. Yes. You know? It is like the legitimate equivalent to them, just in the opposite span. Like they're over here in the right field, I'm over here in left.
Yeah. So like for me as your male partner, like I almost feel like the guys would who their wives are size queens, you know, where, you know, like they're not that big and their wives get all like super excited about these huge cocks, where for me, it's I'm in between.
You are.
Like I'm in between big and average.
Yes. Yes.
So.
And that's not a bad thing.
I mean, it kind of is. Well, you know, like for guys like me that are in that, you know, 7, 7.5 range and not super thick, like we're too small for the size queens and we're too big for the women like you that like that 5 to 6 range.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's not like you're, cause like, okay, you are what, 7.5 roughly?
If you straighten it out. Yeah.
Right. So like even last night, there was spots where I was like, oh, okay. So like, and I was like, I was trying to get in my spot that I like, but even then, like there was certain angles, I guess, that I was hitting that like I was feeling it low and I was like, that didn't feel so good.
Yeah. And I mean, like we've kind of come to like an agreement on how we can fuck. Like,
yeah,
I know that I can't, you know, be real rough with you all the time, or I have to avoid certain positions with you, you know, especially if you're planning on doing any type of content, you know, coming up.
Right.
Because if I, you know, make you bleed, then you can't do content and all this other stuff. So like a lot of the times, you know, I'll play just the tip with you, you know, and like, I'll just fuck your opening.
Yeah.
And then like your G spot.
I mean, that feels good too, but I get it. Like you want to have the whole thing in there too.
Yeah. And I mean, like I do my best to accommodate, but it definitely does leave me feeling like I don't get to fulfill what I want to do. You know, like a lot of the times where when you find these other guys that are, you know, 6 inches or less, you get to fuck them like a true porn star. Like you can do any position, fuck as hard and fast as you want.
Right.
You know, and it's great for you and for them. But I'm like, I wish I could do that. Because like for me to fuck like that, I have to find a size queen.
Right. But then the size queen wants much larger.
Right. Then I can't.
And you're like, well, crap.
Right. Like
I don't got no more dick.
I'm getting satisfied.
Right.
But she's not.
Right. Right. So then you're on the other end. You're like, what the hell? Like, I can't find like a happy medium.
Yeah. So it's really hard to find women that, you know, find my size as that unicorn.
Yeah. And I will say, like, there are times where you can fuck me the way that you want to. It really does depend on where I am in my cycle. Because like right now I'm in that part of my cycle where my cervix is closer down. And you being fully in me can be a little bit ouchy. And like, you know, depending on how your thrust hits me. Where there's other times of the month where it's up higher and you can get away. Like when we had Amy Idaho here, you were able to be full born in me, fucking me hard. Right. And we were good. And I didn't bleed. I was good. But it was that week after my period.
Right.
So everything was kind of almost at its perfect area.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was still some times where you were like, ouchies, but mm-hmm. it didn't make you bleed.
Right.
You know, so that was good. But we were also making content. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things where if you break, you break.
You're like, there was another pussy I could have.
Well, I mean, but we were doing content. Yeah. So we have to fuck that way.
Right, right.
Because that's what people want to see.
This is true.
So, but if you end up getting broken, all well. You know, you have a week to recover.
Yeah.
But just in our everyday life, like when we fuck before bed, mm-hmm. you know, you may have to do a video call
yeah.
the next day.
Right, right.
You know, or you may have to do a video for your OnlyFans or, you know, your Fansly or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I have to keep that in mind and be like, okay, as much as you just want to plow the shit out of her, just take it easy, you know.
Well, that kind of makes me feel bad that, you know, you can't really fuck me the way that you want to all the time. I kind of want to find an answer for that one, too, if possible.
Well, I mean, you've been trying, but, yeah. you know, unsuccessfully, at least down here in Alabama, because it seems like...
They don't really care about women's sex life.
No, all they care about is, can you pop babies out?
And the thing is, what's funny is, I can't anymore.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Like, I know it doesn't.
They just want to know, like, your vagina is... quote unquote healthy.
Right, exactly.
Like they don't give a shit if
how it actually is functioning.
Right.
Right.
So until we can find a better doctor, you know, it is what it is. And mm-hmm. I just have to, you know, adjust.
Right. And I think you've done well with that.
But, you know, it still doesn't change the fact that when you meet a guy that fits all the criteria, I'm just kinda like
Well, I guess it's kind of like the equivalent of like, okay, so you like those really curvy girls and, yeah. you know, they have all those aesthetics that I definitely cannot do to save my life. And I got the belly for them. That's about all I got. So, you know, I kind of sometimes can feel that same kind of way, I think, because, you know, it's that. You can get everything, but like that one thing.
Yeah. I mean.
And I can't physically change that about myself.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, like for you, you get the aesthetics that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, you get the big burly guy.
Yeah.
Something I can never do.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I'm done growing.
I'm done growing.
I'm never going to be 6'3 plus.
No.
You know.
But I don't have to have a guy that's that tall, though.
No, but that's what you go after. I mean, you like...
I don't purposely go after them.
You like the giant guys.
I do like having to look up a little bit.
A little bit. Like, most of the guys you find are 6'4", 6'5", you know, 280 pounds plus. So,
yeah,
like, you get all that. Mm-hmm. And then if they have, you know, an average or smaller dick, you get the full package.
It's like the trifecta.
Yeah. Where, like, for me, like, yes, I may find, you know, the curvy women that I enjoy, mm-hmm. but 9 times out of 10, they prefer bigger dick.
Yeah.
So, like, even if they play with me, mm-hmm. like, I know I may not fully satisfy them.
Gotcha.
Which kind of sucks, too.
Right.
You know, but for you, you can find these guys, and you can rock their world, mm-hmm. you know, and fuck like a porn star, because you're not going to get broken.
Right.
And... you get the best of everything.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying I'm jealous, but it definitely kind of sucks knowing that, you know, I can't find, you know, exactly what I'm looking for mm-hmm. the way you can.
Well, like I said, it is a unicorn dick. So, me finding all of those boxes doesn't always happen.
No, but I feel like it's mainly because those guys are afraid to talk to you.
And that very well could be because they, you know, see me and they're like, oh,
you know, she's never going to want to talk to me or play with me, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Exactly.
You know, when in reality, you're waiting for those guys to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, and because they think, oh, you know, really hot girl, thin, big booty, you know, big titties, mm-hmm. like... she wants, you know, the ripped guys or...
And I'm like, yeah, no, I want nothing to do with them.
You know, the guys with big dicks and blah, blah, blah.
And like, is it really because of my looks? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah.
And I mean, get lumped into that?
Well, yeah, because that's what the majority of women who look like you go after in the lifestyle.
And I'm like that weird one that's not like that
at all. They want, you know, the hard body gym rat guys with the 8-inch plus dicks.
Yeah.
And that's all you ever see them with.
Right.
So the normal guys are like, yeah, I'm not even going to waste my time.
Man, I wish they would listen to our episode more so they could like, or all of our episodes to be like, all right, this chick is legit. Like, this is the kind of guy she's looking for. And I fit that.
Yeah. I mean, if more people knew that about you, you know, I feel like you would have a much higher success rate in finding those guys.
Yeah.
You know, because that average and smaller, you know, is the silent majority.
It is. It is.
Because on all these websites and Facebook groups and all that shit, and, you know, you see the big dick guys because they're not ashamed of it.
Right.
They're like, hey, look at my dick.
Yeah, they're like, let me wear those sweatpants because, you know, it's gray sweatpant weather. And you're like, well, we know why you're doing it.
Right. But you're not going to see, you know, the big burly guys with a 5-inch dick, you know, putting themselves out there.
No, they wouldn't.
You know, but that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's, you know, a lot more women like you. But
I'm sure there is.
But they don't speak up.
They don't. And I don't know why. I mean, because if we don't speak up, like, nobody's going to know. And the guys that you are looking for aren't going to realize that there are women like us that want them.
Right. But it's not the norm.
No, it is not.
You know, I mean, the closest thing that we get now is how women will say that, you know, it's about the vibe, you know, or the connection.
Right.
I think for a lot of women, that's their way of saying, you know, I want something more normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, not always, obviously, but.
And it very well could be how they're kind of going about it, not just coming out and being like, hey, if you have a 5 to 6.5-inch cock, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, and I wonder if they don't do that because maybe they feel like.
That makes them, like, the guy feel bad?
Yeah.
I could see that.
But at the same time, I feel like as a guy, I would want to know that a woman is looking for my size dick.
Okay.
I mean,
so like normally, so like I do this a lot with the guys that I speak to that are on like my Snap or on my OnlyFans where, you know, say it's on Wednesdays. I always like to see dick on Wednesdays. I mean, it's Wiener Wednesday. Come on. So I will literally make my post to say like, do you have that range of cock for me? Because if you do, I want to fucking see it because that is my ideal cock. That's what I want to have fill my pussy. So I'm definitely striving to get that interaction and to help them open up to say, I got that. And I've actually found a few on my OnlyFans that have that ideal cock. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that is perfect. And yes, I will use the word perfect because to me, it is. It's like what I'm looking for. It's the unicorn cock.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if I saw a lady in the lifestyle that was making a post that was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for like a max of, you know, 7 inches and not super girthy, I'd be like, oh, test me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, test me. I'm like, take me for a test ride.
No, not test me. That's me.
Oh, that's you. I mean, you do want to be test ride too, so.
Yeah, I mean, but it would be nice because as a man, all you ever see is, you know, oh, I'm looking for 8 inches or bigger or, right. You know, girthy or, you know, like this or that. And it's like, you never hear women say they want your dick.
Yeah.
Not until you like start talking to them and they get to know you.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, your dick is great.
Right. And you're just like,
but if you had never talked to them and they see your dick, they're not going to say anything.
No.
Like that's kind of like the double standard, I guess.
Okay.
You know, for us guys. Like, women will say our dick is perfect once they get to know us.
Right. But you're like, why not when you first see it? You know, before you even get to know me.
Right.
Like, it would be if they saw a big cock.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, they see a big cock and they're like, oh my God, that's beautiful. You know? But then they see, like, a dick like mine and they're like, oh, that's cool. You know?
Please tell me you have not had women be like, that's cool.
No, but they definitely don't give the same reaction as if, you know,
they're not as like giddy and excited about it as if it was a big one.
Yeah. You know, and
so I don't even want to say big because I feel like your cock is big. So like
it's not compared to some of these guys that are, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 inches
and
thick as a fucking 1-liter soda bottle.
So then maybe it's just me who, because I am that opposite of everybody or the other women, I'm opposite of them, where I'm just like, what do I call that thing? Like, I don't know. My forearm? Like, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, I mean,
there's only so much space.
Some women like to be filled and stretched.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their thing.
Yeah.
You are not that woman.
I am not.
So obviously for you, seeing something like that doesn't do anything for you.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
But for those women, you know, that's what turns them on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm sure when they see a giant cock like that,
they already know how it feels like and what it's going to do to them. Exactly. And they're just like, fuck yes, that's what I want.
Exactly.
And I look at that going, you can keep that thing in your fucking pants.
Where those same women, they see my dick and they're like, eh. Oh. Like, it wouldn't do anything for me.
Oh, it does a lot. It does so much. Oh, my God.
For you, but not for them.
Right, not for them. Right.
You know, and I feel there's more vocal, like a more vocal majority of women
mm-hmm.
on that side of the fence.
Yeah.
That are looking for the huge dick.
Yes, very, very much so.
Then there is women on your side that are looking for average or smaller.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the women on your size are more, on your side are more willing to work with guys like me that are in the middle of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get told, you know, just got to be careful in certain positions or this or that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I appreciate you wanting to fuck me.
Right. But then you're like, I'm being told how to fuck you.
Yeah. But it's like.
So like, you still want to do it, but you're like, but I'm not fully enjoying it the way I'd really like to show you what I can do. Cause you're like, I gotta rein it in a little bit.
Right. So
I get it.
It is what it is. But, you know, hopefully you have further success in finding unicorn dick.
I hope so.
I mean, it sounds like you have, you know, at least one or two that you're speaking with now that could be potential
play
partners.
I do have a few. I think there's even one that is a content creator that I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking we're probably okay. But it may kind of fall into the same boat as you, where they're basically your size, but without a curve. And so there may be positions that either we can't do or we will have to improvise a little bit.
Gotcha.
But overall, it's like, you know, the body build, and mostly the cock size that I'm looking for, that I know I could at least get some good content with and not get broken.
Yeah, so ladies, you know, if you feel like Tink, then please let us know, you know, and guys, if you fall into that average or smaller, let us know how you feel about women stating that they're looking for guys like you. Like, does it make you happy? Does it make you kind of feel like, you know, oh shit, I have a small dick. So.
Right. And also too, like, you know, for both the ladies and the men, you know, for the ladies, how do you word it, you know, to the guys that you're interested in that have the said unicorn cock that you're looking for? And for the men, how do you take it? Or how do you prefer some of us ladies to come about it with you so that, you know, you don't feel kind of a certain way, that kind of turns you off? You know, we don't want to do that
right. When
we are, you know, trying to actually make that connection with you to have a fun time.
Right. Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
All right. Let's move into the poly, not poly segment.
Poly, not poly. Yeah. You're going to have to, ring me in on this one. What questions you have that you want? Or
okay, so you have talked about your guy at work.
Yeah.
Before.
Yes.
He's one of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of politely let him down a couple months ago.
I did, yeah.
But recently, he asked for your phone number.
Yes.
And you gave it to him.
I did.
And you
found, I thought about it first for a while, though.
But you found out that he's going to be taking a promotion and he won't be at your store anymore.
No, sadly. So I'm not going to see him at all.
Right. So, and that's what I told you was the motivation for him to get your phone number.
Yeah.
Now, he is married.
Yes.
And the last time you guys had talked, he was talking about divorcing her and this and that.
Yeah, or at least getting a separation started. I guess they had, at that time, had a really bad fight. And I think it was a matter of she had threatened to do the divorce herself.
Right.
And I don't know exactly where things are with it.
Right. So that has not happened.
No.
You know, they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been calling you
mm-hmm.
and starting to text you a little bit now. Now, the thing is, like, you've told me, like, he's married, so, like, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah. It kind of, like, you know, there's the whole being ethical and, like, you know, right now it's talking. And I still kind of feel bad about that because, like, I know there's no communication on that end. And I know, like, he knows that me and, like, that you know that him and I talk.
Now he does.
Right. So.
Which is one of the things I told you kind of got under my skin was, you know, when you told him that I know you guys are talking, he never once asked, like, if I minded or, you know, anything about me. It was just, you said that I know you guys talk.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was, he wasn't sure how he felt about that. Because. Right,
which I told you, to me, it feels like he's kind of expecting you to sneak around and, you know, talk to him like he's sneaking around and talking to you.
Right. Which that always isn't, like, in the back of my mind, too, because, like, what, it's not right in my mind.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, I know some people would be saying, you know, well, you should stop talking to him. But, you know, at the same time, like, there hasn't been any defined, like, this is why I'm talking to you type of thing from him.
No. It was, I guess it's kind of like that flirtatious friend thing. Because, like, you know, we flirted at work, but it was, you know, I guess like child's play or just for fun kind of thing. So as far as like phone calls, it's really just been talking as like a friend, letting him vent basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I know for me, I kind of feel like he is definitely in the wrong and he's only talking to you for one of two reasons, you know, and that's either to hook up or to try and build a relationship with you so that he can divorce his wife. And he's hoping that, you know, he will win you away from me. Like, that's what I feel. I mean, I'm a guy. I have been in that position where, you know, I was married. I found women that I was attracted to, that I liked. I mean, I never took it as far as he has, but, like, I understand the process.
Yeah, I like I said, like, I don't really know where it's going. And I really don't feel like it would even get to the point where he would leave his wife. And I would never even ask something like that.
Well, no.
Because obviously. That's like, no, that's a way, no. I'm already, like, feeling a certain way because of just talking. But at the same time, I'm also curious as to where he kind of sees this going and what it's going to turn into. But I do also think, though, that I feel like he knows I'm not ever going to leave you. Like, I have my relationship with you.
Okay, but that makes me think, well, he's just trying to fuck then. You know, which, I mean, if circumstances were different, it would be no big deal. But because, like, he already kind of pissed me off with not asking about me, you know, and kind of expecting you to just kind of sneak around like he is, like, that already has me, like, you're a douchebag.
I mean, I don't, when we, like, when I gave him the number, the conversation, I know, like, it did come up, like, you know, does he know? Yes, but it didn't go further into that, except for the, I'm not really sure how I feel about it, is what he had said. And, you know, I kind of was like, well, what do you mean? And he didn't really have an answer. So I don't know if he didn't have an answer because he's not used to the other person's partner knowing that there's communication, or if it was a matter of, like you said, he was expecting it to be where things were kept, you know, hush hush.
Yeah. And I mean, with him not having any direction as to why he's talking to you, you know, like, let's just say that we were monogamous.
Right.
And I could just be a normal, non-possessive, controlling guy. And you have a work friend that's a guy, like, who cares?
Right.
You know, but that's where the whole, what is his intent for talking comes in. And in my opinion, like, because he doesn't work with you all day, every day,
right,
he's a vendor. He comes in once or twice a week for 20, 30 minutes and he's gone. Mm-hmm. So what type of, you know, relationship could you really have with him that would necessitate talking outside of work?
Right.
Unless he's trying to fuck.
Yeah, because like I almost like part of me really wants to come out and just ask, like, you know, where do you actually foresee this going? Like, do you have like true feelings for me that is outside of a physical stance? And, you know, if so, that's something that you seriously need to figure out what you want to do and how you want to, you know, handle that with your situation that you have at home.
Right.
You know, you have to be truthful to yourself of what it is that you're
and to your partner.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you have to have this discussion with your other half of how you're feeling. Because if you're feeling this type of way, there's a reason you're feeling this type of way.
Yeah. I mean, but because of where we live,
I don't think it's possible.
I truly feel like he's just trying to fuck. Like, that's, you know, he's just trying to cheat on his wife because he's not happy with her. Yeah. And that's all it is. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't maybe have more feelings for you, but he knows that's never going to go anywhere because, A, you're already married.
Right. And then there's the other thing, too, that I thought of is not a whole lot of guys, I feel like, want to share their woman.
Right.
So even if he did decide, yeah, I want to have a relationship with you, there's going to be the issue of I'm with you all the time because you are my sole partner. And the time that I would have with him is not going to be nearly the amount of time that I would have with you.
Right.
So I feel like someone who is on the outside and not used to this type of lifestyle cannot comprehend how that works. Right. And a lot of jealousy is going to take place and it therefore won't allow anything to actually become something.
Yeah. I mean, because someone who doesn't understand polyamory, you know, even if they have feelings for you, knowing that you already have a primary partner, mm-hmm. they're going to end up just seeing you as a fuck buddy.
Yeah. And I don't want that. Like, I would be going into this with having, you know, feelings for this person and, you know, wanting to have an actual relationship. I don't want to be the friends with benefits. I don't want to be the fuck buddy. That's what I did in high school. That's not what I want anything to do with now.
Yeah. And, you know, like we talked about, you also have to worry about, well, if you're just the fuck buddy and he's out banging other people,
that won't really fly with me either.
Now you have to deal with, you know, STI testing all the time and,
right. And we know how expensive that is.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, a relationship, you know, like I already have to do that for content. So, right. And for when we go to the swinging events. Yeah. So it's like, man, I dropped like $300 for a content.
360.
Oh yeah. It was, well, yeah. Well, no, all said and done, it was almost $400. Yeah. And that was because I had other testing done that I did outside of, the clear testing place.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely like a lot of moving parts to it. And this is where I feel like it's really hard to find any kind of outside polyamorous relationship for me, especially down here. Yeah. It's just literally, you may have this great connection with somebody and you're like, oh, maybe. But then there's all this X, Y, and Z that you come across and you're like, well, what the fuck?
Which we had the same thing with a girl I dated. You know, she wanted me all to herself. Like, yeah. She knew about you, but eventually it came out that
she wanted you all the time.
Yeah. So it's not just the men down here.
No, it's like, not. But it's like, it's, well, I mean, obviously you wouldn't find it from the men, but, you know, we've already, when we first were down here, we dealt with that with a woman. Mm-hmm. And now here we are almost 3 years later. I finally have it dealing with it with a guy. And it's like, so basically it's just down here. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, I know there are polyamorous people in Alabama. However, they are extremely excluded from the community and they're in their own little world and they're so spread out. Like they're not near you. And if they are, you may not be attracted to them.
Yeah. Like I almost feel like the only way for like a boyfriend for you to work
mm-hmm.
would be to find a lifestyle couple.
Yeah.
That is also polyamorous.
Which that's hard to find too.
You know, where you and the husband get along really well and could, you know, have that boyfriend-girlfriend relationship.
Yeah.
But you both have, you know, primary partners.
Yeah.
So it's not like
I need to see you all the time. There's that, okay, they understand the process.
Right.
They have their said partner that they're with all the time with the understanding of, you know, maybe once or twice a week, you can see the other person.
So that's where like almost like a quad situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would work better than anything.
Yeah.
You know,
and we know that's really hard to find too.
It is really hard to find.
That's like the unicorn of poly.
We have, you know, in the FPS group that we're in, you know, mm-hmm. Frontport Swinger group, there is a couple that went to Pod Bash that met another couple.
Yes.
And they are now in a quad.
Yeah.
And I believe are moving in together.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah.
Well, that happened so fast.
That's, well, it's been 6-7 months. I mean, fast. Yeah. But
yeah. And we do know of another group of people that we had met before, ones that we knew way back when we first started in the swinging, that kind of have like a throuple going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm happy for them because they look happy. Like they found their people. And as of right now, it's working for them.
Right.
And that's what you want to ultimately find when you're going about any polyamorous relationship, is you want something that's going to work for everybody. And it's hard because there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Finding a balance of it is the trick.
Yeah. And I mean, like outside of, you know, like a quad situation, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I feel like we're almost in a quintuplet situation. Almost kind of. A quintuplet. But in like a V form.
Jesus.
You know, because
that's a lot of moving parts right there.
Well, I mean, because we have Amy.
Yeah.
Who is a wonderful unicorn.
She is.
You know,
I absolutely love her.
She is in a relationship with Scott and Holly.
She is.
You know, but, you know, we also have a very close relationship with her.
We do.
You know, almost borderline dating-ish.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, we all share.
We all share her. You know, we all love her and we care for her.
Right.
And we want what is going to make her happy. And that's what we all have. It's like her best interest is to have her be happy.
Because hearing her talk about, you know, Holly and Scott, she gets all excited and happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to see that.
Yes.
You know, but then she also gets all excited and happy when she talks and hangs out with us.
She does.
So it's like, you know, and I know Holly and Scott, you know, love that for her too.
Yeah.
So it's like we share, you know, Amy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, I don't want it to seem like we are claiming her by any means.
No.
Like, you know, it's just, that's the feeling that the whole situation gives off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which,
like, they would do anything for her. We would do anything for her.
Right.
And
she would do anything for the four of us.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So, I mean, it's like an unofficial V quintuplet thing. I don't know.
Yes.
But it's fun.
It is fun. And I didn't even really think about that because, like, you know, I guess, you know, because she's already had that established relationship with Scott and Holly, that, you know, I kind of felt like, how can one person have enough space? But there are some people who are polyamorous that are capable of having a lot of relationships because they just can. Like, they mentally can handle it.
Like, I know, as of right now, like, Amy is content, mm-hmm. like, with the boyfriend-girlfriend title with Scott and Holly.
Yeah.
You know, like, she doesn't put that title on us.
Right.
Which I'm perfectly okay with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I feel like just the actions of things mm-hmm. basically make it so that we're kind of boyfriend, girlfriend without saying we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm totally okay with that.
Okay.
Like, because I'm just happy that she's happy with Scott and Holly. She's happy with us. Scott and Holly are happy for her that she's happy with us. Like,
right.
It just works.
Because everybody's happy and she's being taken care of and loved. And that is exactly the whole point of polyamory, is being able to have everything fulfilled for you and be cared for and loved for.
Right. I mean, it's not about the title.
No.
Mm-mm. You know, like, the feeling is there.
Yeah.
And to me, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hell, we say that we're married. We are not married.
No.
We've been engaged for 5 years.
I don't freaking know how long. I don't even wear my actual ring because it's just easier to have my silicone one on.
Yeah. Like, but we've been together,
you
know, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and we just say we're married because it's easier.
It is. It really is.
But the feeling is there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like you are my wife.
We sure as fuck hell, like, we act, there we go. Can't talk. I was thinking of two different things, trying to put it all together. We we have a great sex life. And it's not that like we're married and we just fuck because we're married type. But we have that balance of like of a more married life together versus just like if we were boyfriend, girlfriend. Like we, I don't know how else to really like,
right, like our,
bring that about. Like it's, our it's entire, maturity.
Our entire lives are integrated.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like everything we do, it revolves around each other.
Yes.
So, you know, I say that we're married.
Yeah. And I do too, because it's just easier. I mean, I do sometimes a lot say my other half, but like that's what you say right. too when it's I mean, your husband. It's if, my other half.
If Alabama, you know, still had common law marriage, yeah. we would be common lawed.
Yeah.
Like we would be married through that. So the titles don't mean anything to me.
No.
You know, it's how you feel, mm-hmm. how the situation feels.
Yeah.
And you just go with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we've kind of been doing with Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking forward to the future. You
know, yeah. And we don't really know what that will look like or what, but I feel like, you know, depending on situations that potentially can alter our living location, there's yeah. potential for things to potentially develop into something more.
Right. And like, I'm looking forward to actually meeting Scott and Holly.
Yes. I would really like to meet them.
Which we're talking about doing when we go up north. Mm-hmm. You know, in July.
Yep.
You know, and like for me, I think it's because like I want to meet the other couple. Like,
right. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like because we hear so much about them.
Right. But we don't know a whole lot about them.
Right. But we've never met them.
Right.
So like
we've I think they really started coming out more when we left.
Right.
And so we literally just crossed paths. We didn't get to meet them.
Yeah. So I just want to introduce ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, hey, thank you for taking such good care of Amy, you know,
yeah.
and when you're not around, we do our best to do the same.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
Like it's good working with you. Shake hands. You know. But
we would have a great dinner conversation. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like to me, that's just kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like there's five people involved.
Yeah.
You know, and at some level, everybody kind of cares about everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because of that one main person.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty fucking cool to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I'm hoping that, you know, the situation that you were talking about with the guy from work, you know, gets resolved without any drama. Because that's been my biggest concern with him since you told me about him months and months ago.
Yeah.
Because of where we live, you know, he's married. I don't want drama.
Yeah. And I had told him that from the very beginning when he first came to me was that I am not about drama. It's not something I live for. It's not anything I want in my life. And, you know, I guess in a way I had a little bit of me that was worried that drama would start with giving him my number.
There still is kind of that worry for me.
Yeah. So, but I kind of feel like too that I feel like there's a possibility that given that I don't see him anymore, that it may fizzle out.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, all right, let's bounce.
Bounce! Not onto this next topic. So that may be a bad time. So, figging.
Figging.
Yes.
What is figging? Tell our audience what figging is when it comes to the kink and BDSM world.
Okay. Figging is where you would take a peeled ginger root. Usually it would be shaped down into the shape of a butt plug.
Yes. So for all my crafty listeners out there,
go to the store and get yourself,
whittle yourself a butt plug out of ginger.
Yeah. Having a handle for this is ideal because we know what butts to do.
Is necessary.
Very necessary. Not just ideal. Very necessary. Yes. You definitely don't want that to be stuck up in there for a long period of time. But what it does is basically it creates a warm tingling sensation that leads up to a burn.
Yes.
Because your mucous membranes take in the ginger and the ginger oils are what activates the burning sensation.
It is a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. And so some people actually really like it.
I mean, yes.
Because it's erotic and it gives them this heightened pleasure sensation. And then there's others that don't like it because it would be used more as a...
It's usually a punishment.
Yeah, a punishment. But one nice thing is that it usually only lasts, as far as the burning sensation, for about 20 to 30 minutes.
Yes.
Which is good because if... I mean, I know this is going to happen. Mainly because I kind of want to try, but at the same time, like, oh my God, I don't know really... All I can think of is like your asshole just being a ring of fire.
Yes, that's basically... And
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Now, just imagine if, you know, somebody whittled a butt plug that was thick out of ginger. So now you have the real ring of fire along with the ginger
right
ring of fire.
So, and not only just making the butt plug version of the ginger very large, you can also just having it, you know, obviously have the plug at the end so that it doesn't go way far up there, be, you know, implements being used on you. Mm-hmm. What happens when you get your ass smacked? You clench, yep. Which is going to intensify that burning in your ass.
Right.
So like, you don't want to clench, but you're going to clench. So it's kind of like a battle back and forth. So there's definitely a mind fuck with that because you know what's going to happen when you get hit. You don't want to clench. Then you have it's already burning and it's driving your mind crazy.
Yes.
So you've got a lot going on in your head and it's a great tool. And you're over here going, I really want to do this to you.
Yeah. I mean, like that's actually been a punishment for a long, long time.
It has been. Yeah.
You know, they used that back in
the Victorian era, I believe it was
way back.
So they actually used to do it. Surprisingly, they used to do it to horses, mm-hmm. and it was to make them hold their tail high.
Well, and it was also before they would sell a horse, it would make them fiery.
Oh, yes. Because it, you know, would make them prance a lot.
Yes. So they used it back then for, you know, horses and sometimes cattle.
Okay.
You know, so that.
And then somehow it got brought over to the peasants as punishment, yep. And kind of got saved as a kink somewhere along the way. Well, where there was some peasant that was like, fuck it, stick it in my ass. I like it.
I like this shit. Yep. So, but that's some fun history facts for you.
Right. I was kind of intrigued by those. I'm not going to lie. And what's nice is that there really isn't anything damaging when it comes to using ginger.
Unless you're allergic to ginger.
If you're allergic to ginger, yeah, please don't do this. But really, it's not going to hurt. Make sure, again, you have a way of getting it out. So make sure the plug is very big, or the end part is very big so that it does not get lodged up in there. Yeah. But other than that, you are pretty much safe to use it.
Yeah, and
you can use it vaginally too.
Yes, you can. If you want to get rid of the burnie, you can, you know, flush, like do an enema.
Ah.
And flush, that'll help a little bit because it'll, you know.
Take out the oil that's attached to your mucous membrane.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like instant, ooh, that feels better, but
right.
It'll speed up the process.
That would be good. Because I think that's what I'm worried about. Like, I'm intrigued by how it would feel, but I'm also worried, like, how long is it going to actually stay burning?
Because it'll probably be tingly for about an hour.
Oh.
Like, you know, total.
Huh.
By the time it goes away and you don't feel it anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
My brain's thinking right now, like, all right, can I win and how? And how, like, I'm thinking, like, how am I going to react? Like, okay.
You're going to be a baby about it.
Of course I will. 100%.
I already know that.
I don't like birding. I don't. Because I'm like, well, maybe I'll do it in my vagina. I was like, yeah, no, fuck that. I'm not doing that because heaven forbid it will make that fucking thing angry.
Yep. So.
So my ass it is.
Yep. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And
all right.
When we do that, it'll definitely be up on Fansly.
Oh, yeah. Because we ain't going to be able to put it on OF.
No.
But yeah, it'll be on Fansly for sure.
Yep. And speaking of that, what do you have for the Tinks Toy Box this week?
This week, we are going to be using this dildo. It is basically the Amazon version of the Bad Dragon, or one of their many options, because they have so many different ones. It's not super large. I mean, I can get it all the way across my finger. It has a great suction. Has a little nub here, so I'm sure if I get down far enough, I can get my clit onto it. It has a little bit of a arched back where it'll stretch a little, but not too, too much. But it's super soft. I can squeeze it. I think I should be okay with it. I am intrigued, though. There's a lot of texture on it. Yes. So I'm curious to see how that's going to feel. And there's even like a nub right here that would hit like my G-spot. It would hit my G-spot when I come down on it. So I'm intrigued. I want to see how it's going to feel.
All right. Well, if you want to watch her review this toy, then you can do that on fansly.com/ KSENM and Kink Podcast.
Yes. It's the only place that I'll be able to put that on.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yes.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up so that you can go do that toy review.
Yes.
You know, because we can't do it on the air anymore because fucking Spotify.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
You know, if you
start, I can't have any fun fucking a toy.
Yeah, if you have an orgasm, they're going to take this fucking episode down.
Yep, no orgasms on the air. Cool.
So
ruined all my fun.
So if you want to see all that, you got to head to Fansly.
Yes.
But we will be back next weekend. Mm-hmm. It'll be Easter weekend.
It will. Oh, man.
So maybe we'll, you know, shove some eggs in Tink's vagina. I don't know.
we'll have an Easter egg hunt. We'll have an Easter egg hunt. We'll see if we can try them. Cause like the one store actually has little eggs that you can like use as a suppository. Oh. And then you can like pop them out. But
there you go.
I don't have any.
Might have to get some.
Might have to.
Yeah. So who knows what we'll have next week. You'll probably be in some type of Easter outfit mm-hmm. with your bunny ears, I'm sure.
I already have something planned.
There you go. Look at that. I will be dressed normal.
Dressed normal. I might make you wear ears.
Oh, Jesus.
Hee.
So, until then, stay kinky, my friends. And yeah. We will be back next week with episode number 88. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Kitchen Sink E&M and Kink Podcast. Please make sure to check out the people who support us, VJ's Hotspot, The Trendy Pineapple, and also Pandora's Resort. They are really awesome people, and they love and support the lifestyle just the way we do. So please make sure that you go and check them out. And if you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us pretty much everywhere at KSENM and Kink Podcast. That's all the major socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Clapper, and also now we are moving away from OnlyFans, and you can find all of our video and picture content at fansly.com/KSENM and Kink Podcast.